Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Thank God for Clutch. By the way, I don't hear you when you say that. The best music we've heard all day. It's Clutch. Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. It is a tradition Tuesday in a doghouse. It's also the highly sought after fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. And if I sound weird and muffled, which is some of the responses that we've been getting from people, I am in the Athens studio. Now, I don't know why I would sound weird and muffled. This is the microphone that Colt Kublik broadcasts from. And I know I have a heavier voice than Cole. But still, why would I sound muffled? Do you know why? I mean,
did he sabotage us today?
I don't think Cole would do that.
I don't think so either.
Cole and I go back a long ways now, you know.
Yeah.
And I've always been in his corner, so I don't know that he would sabotage me. But, you know, who knows? Arky, on the other hand, you know, who knows what Arky's level would do? I got Arky Thursday and Friday, man.
You fed him today, so I don't know if he would go along those, you know, go that far. You fed him, man. You fed him.
I did. I did feed him. I felt like I fed everybody today. I think I fed the whole restaurant today, I think. I'm not sure. When it book came, it looked like I fed the whole restaurant, but I'm not sure. All right, phone lines are open. If you want to get 866-485-9867, I'll get you into the show, 866-485-9867. These guys held patiently through the break. At least we know Wolverine Dan did. Hopefully Arizona Jay did as well. Let's go to the lines. Wolverine Dan is up. Wolverine Dan, 3 hours late, man, usually right there at the beginning of the show. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, man, come on, everybody. I can't believe people are so picky about your voice. It sounds just fine. Give me a break.
I gave you some love early on because I was talking about how we ate at Dreamland, which is outstanding. But I was saying how I prefer a baby back rib. I prefer, you know, and I love how you do your ribs when you just kind of pluck the bones right out of them. The ribs just fall off of there. You know, it's a different kind of rib is what it is. It's a, you know, a different kind of rib than what they make at Dreamland. They do a great job there with their sauces and everything as well.
Well, my speaking of barbecue, the last time we had the whistle stop in May, my future son-in-law and his team, which Ann was on it also, they finished second in chicken. Believe it or not, their chicken was phenomenal. It's like, for instance, it what they did is they smoked it and then they pan fried it in sauce just before they gave it to the judge, so it had a slight crispy taste to it. But what was great about the sauce, Tom, is that when you initially taste the sauce, you got a little smoke, you got the barbecue, and then after maybe about a second, maybe 3 seconds, you get a taste of like sweet and sour, like a Chinese sweet and sour.
Really,
really good.
Well, that's
good
stuff.
Good. And then they didn't do well in ribs, but they won the kids division, and they got second place in chicken. So what they did is my daughter decided to step out of the team, and they recruited, guess who? Yeah. You heard it, me, the guy that's been doing it for years that knows how to barbecue ribs. So they brought me in on this team, and I'm telling you, Tom, this team is called Butt Stuff. It's called Butt Stuff.
Butt Stuff?
Yeah, Butt Stuff.
Butt
it sounds
stuff.
Kind of gross.
Not butt paste, but Butt Stuff, like stuffing
butt
a butt
stuff.
Type thing. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, bottom line, Tom, this is the real deal. I'm excited about next year. I think we could win this sucker. But now, getting back to, you know, the voice. You know, come on, everybody. you know, you never know at what station you walk into a station. They got a different setup than the place at your house there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know you're an athlete. Next time you got to let me know and I'll have a studio because,
well,
you know, I could have stopped this thing.
I've been talking about it for a week, but you probably were listening to the other station when I was saying it. You probably missed it.
What station? Are you talking Sirius Radio? Oh, my gosh.
I had a guy on today from Sirius Radio.
hey, check this out. Check this out. No, seriously, before I hang up, you know, I tell you, this has been a phenomenal year. Not only was a birthday gift was great, but Father's Day, they touched me up, Tom, believe it or not.
Yeah?
They touched me up with an old Allen Park High School jersey that I years ago. And then they touched me up with, you know what a Google Home is?
Yes, I know what Google Home is. That is really cool.
I got one of those now, so I can play anything I want. And I can listen. I get all the scores. I won't have to call you or I won't call my son.
Yeah.
I get all my scores and everything. I probably even get live football if I want it.
That's good stuff. For Father's Day, I had, let's see, 7 out of my 9 kids wished me a happy Father's Day, which I thought that's a pretty good percentage. My two of my sons that live at home refused to do it, you know, because they think I'm a hard ass. So they just, you know, I think they conspired not to even wish me a Father's Day, happy Father's Day. My oldest son, I got a $50 gift certificate to Lowe's for my oldest son. I got a card for my oldest daughter, and I got some e-cards for my other daughters. So, you know, that's not bad.
You know, so, well, with you, it's like Christmas, for crying out loud.
No, it's not, really. Yeah. I know what you're
saying.
You got
the Circle Line Ranch. You got the Circle Line Ranch over there, for crying out loud. You're like a factory, you know. I mean, you got all these giving you gifts.
Well, no, they don't. I mean, like I said, I got a $50 gift certificate. But that's okay. As I always say, every day is Father's Day for me, you know. So I could care less. But
Anyway, don't worry about your parts. You sound fine. I got to get off the phone here.
Sounds good. Thank you. Keith says, kind of a sensitive-sounding mic. So Keith weighed in on that sound. Charles in Decatur says, everything has sounded fine over the internet stream for the whole 3 hours. So he said the internet stream sounds the same. That's a good thing. All right, is Arizona Jay still there? Let's give it a run. Arizona Jay, welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
Tom Abraham, what's going on, man?
You are, brother.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. You don't sound muffled. You just sound like you're talking through a Venus flytrap or something.
Yeah, you see, that's the deal, man. Are you old enough to remember Venus flytrap? You remember him, don't you?
I didn't even know that was a dude's name.
That's WKRP. Like that's the brother at WKRP in Cincinnati that did the overnight show, and he looked kind of like Jimmy Walker, had a big hairdo, and it was Venus Flytrap doing the overnight show on WKRP in Cincinnati.
I remember that show. I was really young, but I heard WKRP in Cincinnati. I remember that show.
Yeah.
I remember the brother you're talking about, too. Now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of talking through it like a microwave or something.
Yeah.
I mean, besides that, it's not egregious or anything.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going for, not egregious. I mean, if I could just get to not egregious, you know what I mean? That would be good. You know, I don't want to sound good. I just want to be not egregious. And I'm going for that microwave sound.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But I guess I wanted to talk a little basketball or whatever. I'm seeing all the trade talk and everything on TV. And I don't know. First of all, I mean, I see the New York Knicks situation. I mean, I've been screaming for somebody to try to pick up Chris Porzingis, which now they're finally trying to do it. But I don't think it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Well, why would you trade that guy?
Now all of a sudden they're like, you know, they'd be stupid to let him go and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the dude's been asking to get off that team for a couple months. And I think the problem with the Knicks, man, is it's not only just Phil Jackson. It's Carmelo, too. Then the main thing is that owner, because, you know, any owner with the rightful mind would have got rid of Phil Jackson a long time ago. And they got rid of Carmelo, too.
But why would you want to get rid of Kristaps Porzingis? I mean, that guy, to me, that's a guy you build the team around. You know what I mean? I mean, I would build the team going forward around that dude. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, he's got this no-trade deal, but you got to try and get him to move because you're just not going to be good soon enough for him to have a chance to win. That's a guy that you should be thinking about trying to move. I wouldn't move Porzingis unless he didn't want to play for them anymore.
That's the thing about it. He doesn't want to. It's like he's holding the whole team hostage. Everybody's putting all this stuff on Phil Jackson. It's like, dude, There's another guy there that, like, it's almost like you live in somebody's house, and they can't get rid of you because you signed some kind of contract, you're paying rent, but everybody in the house wants you to leave, but just out of spite, you're going to stay there with your feet up on the couch.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And it's like, dude, go, leave. I don't know. It's almost like he wants his money more than he wants the title. He clearly does not want a title if he's sitting around there like that. And it's kind of like everybody says that about the dude. So, like, that dude really doesn't care about a title. He cares about his money. You know what I mean? And then Phil Jackson, I don't know. It's like you got it's almost like two grown men, you know, pulling some old lady moves on each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? Basically. And then as far as the Cleveland and stuff like that, I've been saying Cleveland is the main one. If Porzingis is open, go after Porzingis, man. Don't waste your time with Paul George, which you want to rent out a Ferrari for like a year. You know what I mean? I don't even think the dude's a Ferrari. And then Jimmy Butler, he plays good defense, but it's like, dude, you just went up against a team that is just like, it's like when they shoot the ball, it's like lightning strikes every time. You know what I mean? It's
well,
like,
that's why you need good. You need somebody that's going to play good, strong defense. You know, that's why they need a defensive presence because, you know, LeBron, the defense will go before the offense. You know what I mean? Because defense is exhausting. And the defense is going to start suffering, and they were horrible defensively as it is. So whether it's Jimmy Butler or whoever it is, Paul George, whoever it is that you're looking to bring in. And the funny thing is, we've never seen this before, I don't think, in the NBA, where a team is completely disregarding what they need for 82 games, and they need to make a move that will make them more competitive against one team, the Warriors. It doesn't matter. I mean, because, you know, with Kevin Love and, you know, they can win 60 games. None of that matters. It's the wrong matchup for the Warriors, so they have to somehow match up with the Warriors, whether that's Butler or you know, Paul George or whoever it is. That's the team they got to figure out a way to compete with.
Yeah, but if you got you got the thing with the Warriors, they can play D and shoot your lights out. You know what I mean? You can have guy that can play D, but if he can't shoot, the score is still going to be like 145 to like 120 against the Warriors with the Warriors winning. So that's what they're not getting. It's like you can have a perennial defensive player, but if he can't shoot, you're still going to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, there's no guarantee that no matter what they do, they can beat the Warriors, you know. But you got to try. You got to do something.
You got to do something, but the Warriors are like, it doesn't matter how much game you play. They're still going to shoot your lights out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I said that when they first got on KD, I was like, man, they're probably not even going to have to play defense because the score is going to be like 150 every night.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now they got another year together. Now they really know how each other play. Like, dude, I seriously, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I remember when Chris Paul tried to go to the Lakers. They didn't want him to go there because of some kind of parody thing, whatever.
Oh, they're not stopping moves now. Yeah, they're not stopping any kind of moves now. I mean, that was ridiculous when they did that. Yeah. If they're going to do that, why didn't they figure out a way? And that was a trade deal. But, you know, then why don't you try and stop KD? And you can't do that because it was free agency. Otherwise, it's not free agency.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? I didn't get to talk to you, man, while the Predators was making their run, man. I've been listening to you talk about Prednex since, like, way back when you had B-Hop on your show.
Yeah.
I didn't get to talk to you about that, but I was really hoping, like, I could get up to Nashville, you know, as I'm in Huntsville, you know, and ain't nothing to go up there, you know, and, you know, chill on Broadway while they were playing.
Yep.
And it looked like a really good scene. I hope they make it back next year, man.
I think they'll be very good, but it's very, very difficult to. I mean, that it's not like any NBA. I mean, that NHL playoffs is such a grind to win four, you know, three series to get to the finals. It's a grind, but it was fun, man. There was no question about it. It'll be interesting to see how they are next year.
Yeah, man. Good talking to you.
All right, brother.
And like, don't go on vacation so long next time.
All right, man. Why haven't even gone yet in Arizona?
Man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. It's a good job by you. I haven't even gone on vacation yet. And he's like, don't go on vacation so long next time. I got to do it. If they won't let me roll the stuff over. I mean, doesn't it make sense to take the vacation around the 4th of July holiday?
Yeah.
We got 2 days off. What's that sheet say over there? Look behind you, Cream.
It makes more sense
I think
because...
don't we have a floating... We're off on the 3rd. and 4th, right? What's it say for 4th of July? Is July the 4th off?
Yeah,
it says be, Tuesday, yeah. July 4th, and, oh, it doesn't say Monday?
No.
Why doesn't it say Monday?
I don't know how long ago that sheet was even put up there. That sheet used to be hanging on the door.
You know, you sound better to me.
Now,
maybe it's the mic.
Maybe.
I may be eating a mic. See, I thought I'd have a great show because I'm on a Cole Kubrick mic. So I was going to do my thing. I was like, great show.
Yeah, but Cole has to get on the mic, like up on the mic.
Does he? I don't think he does. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm eating. See, I am always up on the mic like this in my studio, but maybe I need to be back here.
Yeah, because you've got whatever Cole does. I don't know if he eats the mic or not. Whatever he does, he just doesn't broadcast his voice as you know, loudly as you do.
This mic is also coming through that mic a little bit. A
little bit, yeah.
That's what Chuck the Engineer was saying.
I try to turn my mic off whenever I'm not talking, so forgive me if I don't, but
Arizona I'm enjoying listening to you more than I am listening to me. That's what I'm saying. So I'd rather just you talk for a minute. I hope you have something compelling to say.
I do. I was actually going to mention a couple things Arizona Jay had said about Chris Stapps and trying to compete with the Warriors. And he had mentioned that, you know, Chris Stapps is the guy that you even mentioned that Chris Stapps should be the guy you need to build around. And Carmelo's probably not going to be there because everybody, like the Knicks, there's no market for him. And the Knicks know that they don't want to use him anymore. So they're kind of over that deal. But Chris Stapps, he's in like a tangle with the management and the ownership because they say that he's not built. I read this today that he's not built to be the man by himself yet. But at the same time, you don't have a choice because Carmelo's definitely not the guy. But Chris Stapps and Phil Jackson can't get along. They had that falling out where Chris Stapps, you know, completely skipped his exit meeting. And then they came back and had a meeting.
You still want Chris Stapps to be there.
Agreed, absolutely.
You build with him. He's not a LeBron or a KD or one of those guys. But that's one of the key pieces. It would be so Nick-like to just go out like, get rid of that guy.
I agree with you. I think that they're kicking this thing in the butt here by getting rid of him. And something along the lines where you and Arizona Jay kept talking about, well, this team's trying to go after this guy, and the Lakers are making this move, and the Cavs are either going to get Butler or George wants to go to L.A. I think something that all these guys are missing, that only a few teams in the NBA are nailing right, is that, teams like Boston and even teams like Philly, they might go after a big-name guy, but they're home growing some of these guys. Some of their draft picks, they're growing themselves, and the Timberwolves are set up for a long time because they've got all this young talent that's starting to become really good, and then they can add that other piece. But these other teams like Cleveland, they're trying to just go get a guy and glue him in for now and try to win a championship, and that got them one, but it's not going to get you long-term success. That might have only gotten you one win over the Warriors. It might not get you another championship, and that's something the Warriors did very well. Before they added KD, they won 67 games in a championship with Draymond Green, who they drafted, Steph Curry, who they drafted, Klay Thompson, who they drafted. Then they turned around and won 79 wins. They know how to go out and get value guys that aren't superstars, like Andre Iguodala. Look what he's done for that team, and he's not a superstar.
But I still would take that team.
Agreed.
Against, I would take the Warriors against an all-star team, and the rest of the whole NBA. So how many guys can you – in fact, we should put that up as a poll question. Hey, Cream, by the way, do you ever look at that phone or what? I mean, how would he know? He's over here playing Super Mario Brothers or something on a computer. I mean, do you kind of glance at that thing? I mean, you look at it once in a while, right?
I'm
just saying, because I would get people texting me saying, hey, I'm calling, and I can't get anybody to answer the phone.
I always make sure I keep the phone where I can keep an eye on it.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye. One eye has got to be on that phone. When you put that poll question up, swing that mic over there for him, Skippy. All right, there. When you put that poll question up, did you put a time limit on it at all? Did you just leave it on forever? Did you?
I put it on for 24 hours.
Yeah, no. Usually when I put them up to the end of that show. You know what I mean? So whenever you put one up, put it up for 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever. But I want a new poll question. Okay? This one you could put up for 24 hours because I want this to roll into tomorrow because tomorrow we're talking some hoopage, right? So I want to have this in there. And the poll question is this. Who would you take? All right, who would you take in a seven-game series? Who would you take in a seven-game series? The Golden State Warriors or an NBA All-Star team made up of the rest of the league? In other words, you know, if that was the All-Star game, remember how they used to do that in some other sports? They'd have, like, the champions would play an All-Star team. You know, they used to do that in different leagues. So what if you had the Golden State Warriors against an NBA All-Star team? made up for the rest of the league in a real game, not All-Star game style. Let me tell you something. If you wanted to salvage All-Star weekend, I would more be into that game than I would be the All-Star game. The Warriors against the best of the rest of the league.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going with the Warriors by one default. All-Star teams don't play defense. Warriors play the best defense in the NBA, which I'm sure if you get them together and it's meaningful, you would get them to play.
It would have to be a real game.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a game that is one of those kind of games where it's going to be an All-Star game. It would be a seven-game series, not a one-game thing. A seven-game series, the Warriors versus an All-Star team. And then you could put Jimmy and LeBron and Paul George and Blake Griffin, if he isn't in the infirmary, and Chris Paul. I don't care. The whole rest of the league.
I'm taking the Warriors because I think people absolutely undervalue how well they're coached. I don't think they understand how good Steph Curry and that team was without KD and how good. I mean, they won 73 games, but yeah. A lot of people look and they see, well, Steph Curry hit 400 threes. He's not that good on defense. These are tweets I've actually read. That people forgot that last year Steph Curry also led the league in steals.
Yeah.
He's a very underrated defender. That team does everything so very well. That's the reason they won 67, 73, and another 67 games and went 16-1 in the playoffs. They're that good. It's not just because they added KD. They're fundamentally sound all over the floor.
How fired up are you if Jimmy Butler ends up a Celtic? they just said he's definitely gone from Chicago. It will either be Cleveland or the Celtics.
That's something I wanted to mention, and I tweeted about it a little bit ago. If it wasn't for Cleveland being in the mix, they said that the Celtics would have been able to get him straight up for that number three pick, which...
The third pick overall.
Yeah, so thanks a lot, Cleveland. But I would be absolutely
How does he fit thrilled. In? Where do you put him?
If they go get Gordon Hayward, you probably put him at the two because he plays small forward and shooting guard. You put him there, and you can fit in Isaiah Thomas. He's only effective with the ball. So you would have to put in guys like Avery Bradley and some of these younger guards they have, Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier.
So I think he fits better with I think he fits better with the Celtics almost than he does with the Cavs. Because if you put him with the Cavs, don't you have to? You got to have Kyrie, bringing the ball up. And don't you put? Because then don't you tell LeBron that he's a small forward at that point in time, and he doesn't like being a forward. He doesn't want to be called a forward. But I mean, you almost have to do that then, right? If you bring him, if he were to go to Cleveland, he has to be the two. We got Kyrie at one, and then you got to put LeBron down at three.
Well, Jimmy does something for the Celtics that. LeBron needs necessarily, but he doesn't necessarily want all the time. And that's a guy who can a dominant scorer. Jimmy Butler can be a dominant scorer, and LeBron James just needs someone to help him score. But he doesn't want someone to dominate around him.
Right.
And that's where I think it hurts. The Celtics need someone besides Isaiah Thomas that can consistently score. So that's where he fits in tremendously for the Celtics.
Let me get Bamazak in here before the break. Bamazak, welcome to the show. How are you?
All right, brother. Hey, I'm sorry I cost you too much money today.
That
was just kind of a joke. I didn't know they was going to order it.
Oh.
I mean, was that four of y'all eat for 130?
It was...
You and Tony Mack, too?
It was me, Tony Mack, Arky, and Cole, and then there was a mystery fifth guest that got in on the action. But Cole rolls out with it. First of all, Cole rolls out with the sausage for me and my friends appetizer, which was $13, right off the bat. And then Cole orders a full rack of ribs. Okay, so it really wasn't Arky. Arky got tips. And then Cole had the big dessert, too, to 40. Cole was probably $40. I mean, I got to say that. It was probably Cole. But he won the bet. So, I mean, you know, what am I to say, right? But then, you know, it's a dreamland. It added up. You know what I mean? So it was five of us all together, and it was $1.30. So it is what it is.
Yeah. It was drinks, and I'm sure y'all had some banana pudding and all that, too, didn't you?
Well, Cole and the mystery guest had banana pudding, $4 banana pudding. And then Arky had $2 banana pudding and was upset about it. I think Arky didn't. I don't know that Arky intentionally had $2 banana pudding. I think, and me and McRib over there, we just went. We didn't even have dessert. You know what I mean? Because I'd have fallen out. I'm diabetic. I can't eat no banana pudding, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a good job. I mean, everything sounds good. Good to see you back in the studio after, you know, once every few years. So.
Well, it was our throwback. Do you remember who my first – you were my first caller, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Today?
You were going to call – you were going – I gave you a traffic update, and you were going to nickname me the traffic dog.
Right.
Everybody calls me Bama Zach, so –
Yeah, you were my first caller. So today is Tradition Tuesday, and the tradition for Tradition Tuesday today was me doing a show in the studio because I came in here in 2004, and I don't know if you guys knew this, your listeners probably didn't know, but I was the first person here to have a producer. Doug and Dan Bach and DeSchwartzman and Peralt, they all did the board themselves and answered the phones themselves. And they would be like, caller, you're on the air. Who's this? You know what I mean? And it was like, I was the first one to say, that's a half-assed way to do things. I mean, we're going to have a producer and we're going to do this right. And I'd always had a producer in the past, an engineer and that type of stuff. And so that's the way it went. But I can't remember who my first board op was. I can't remember because I know I had John Boy, Dewey Magoo. I had Carrie.
Yeah, John Boy actually worked for a time with Matt. So Matt actually had John Boy working with him for a time.
Right. And then I had Swede last, right? I had Swede, I think, at the end before I left for Nashville. And that, but who did I was it John?
Carey.
It might have been Carrie or was it – it might have been Scary Carrie or it might have been – the first one, though, I think was it John Mounts? I wonder if I had John – I think John Mounts was my first guy. Maybe.
Hey. You need a bumper sticker that says honk if you ever been a producer for Tom Abraham.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
You've had a bunch of them.
I have had a bunch of them, and I've got some of them that are big time talents now at big time markets that have come through that side of the desk. So you know it's not a terrible thing either. But you were my first caller ever, so I'm glad you called.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's your tradition. I'm glad I called.
Yeah, Tradition Tuesday.
Y'all were talking about Y'all were talking about the Celtics. You know, I like the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Butler and Gordon Hayward, that'd be awesome. And I can't say the guy's name from the Knicks, but I've also seen rumors that they're in talks with the Knicks about that guy.
Porzingis. I don't know that they would trade Porzingis, though, in the division like that to the Celtics. I mean, that would be heinous.
I can't believe how the Knicks could get by if they traded him right in the division. But if you got Jimmy Butler and Gordon Hayward to go with Isaiah Thomas and those guys, I think they can handle. But I would definitely, on the poll, I would take Golden State over the field.
There you go. There you go.
I would.
All right,
brother.
Appreciate you, man. He was my first caller ever in Alabama. Very first caller ever. I'm glad he got in on this Tradition Tuesday. We'll get a break. When we come back, we'll rapidly rewind it. With the Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind next, right here at 730-1039. The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. Bark, bark.
Turned out for what? How about that? Now can you hear me? What is this called? Turned out for what?
Turned down for what, Lil Jon?
So what makes you think they handpicked these?
Because they can, I guarantee you, they're picturing you being irritated while talking over all these music beds. And to have a song called Turn Down for What playing while you're acting irritated is just perfect.
I wouldn't care if I sounded like, totally muffled. The worst thing would be the music. I mean, I'm trying to keep it turned on in my ears. All right, I'm going to get to this story tomorrow because I've got the story about the what happened with the U.S. Supreme Court or the U.S. Court of Appeals and the U.S. Supreme Court overturning the U.S. Court of Appeals decision regarding getting a trademark on an offensive name, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. And a lot of people are thinking, well, hey, the Redskins name is good. You know, there you go. The court has agreed with Daniel Snyder that it's not offensive. Then that's not what happened. It's not what happened at all. What they said was that the First Amendment guarantees the right that you could trademark anything regardless of whether or not it's considered offensive or not. So they didn't say it wasn't offensive. It may be very offensive, just like the name, the band Slants. That's how this whole case came about. It was an Asian American group that brought the case trying to stop a band by the name of Slants for using that name for their band and trademarking that name. And when the Supreme Court said, you know what? The First Amendment, which is free speech, that says that, you know, whether it's offensive or not, it doesn't matter. It's free speech in America. Now it really opens up Pandora's box. So automatically that means that the Redskins can use that term and that name and that trademark and get their trademarks back that they lost, because the Supreme Court has said that it doesn't matter if a name's offensive or not. It's free speech. It's the First Amendment, and you can apply for a trademark for it. So what if somebody now applies for a name, a trademark for the name, the N-words? Now, where do you draw the Dagos? Where do you draw the line? The Guineas? Where do you draw the line? There is no line. It's the First Amendment. Agree or disagree with that? We'll get more into that, though, tomorrow and get your reaction on that as well, because tomorrow, Dominic Bramante, Native American, will join us, and we'll get his thoughts on how that thing is shaken out. And we didn't really get to it today. All right. Joining us today on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline was Kevin Rogers. David Moulton was in from Sirius XM Radio. Greg Wyshynski from the Puck Daddy blog. Brent Sobolewski did not make it in, but Phil Steele did from last night. We ran that at the top of the show. All of the guests appearing on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Of course, Woody Anderson Ford, down there they have the 2017s. They're running out of them at some point in time. 2017 F-150s. Because why? The 2018s are on the way. So if you want to get a great deal, get down to Woody Anderson Ford now and get that great deal. And while you're down there, hang out, have lunch or breakfast, if you or breakfast and then lunch. Just hang out all day if you want. Right there at the Mustang Cafe, at Henry's Mustang Cafe. You can take in all that good stuff. All right, we put all those guys into the mixer, and we kick it back at you. We call this the Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind.
What do you think about the East, then? Is it Georgia, then Florida, Florida, then Georgia? And is there anybody else that can push? Everybody was high on Tennessee last year. It looks like Tennessee may be a little bit worse this year than they were last year. But, you know, what do you make of the East?
Yeah, Tennessee's not as experienced as they were last year. If there's a team that's going to push the top two, I think it is going to be Tennessee. When I look at them, I do see 14 returning starters. They lose their quarterback, but they've got some talented guys in Quentin Dormady and Jared Garantino, and then they also bring in a Will McBride, a true freshman. They've got John Kelly back at running back. And remember last year, in the second part of the season, their defense was all banged up. They were giving up 45 points to A&M, 49 to Bama, 36 to Kentucky, right down the line, even 45 to Vanderbilt. I think the defense is going to have some bite this year, despite losing a couple of key players. They do draw LSU and Alabama out of the West. They do have to play Florida on the road. But they would be my sleeper pick in the East this year because they're under the radar. It's a place they haven't been last year. Georgia's my pick for second. When I look at Georgia, I do see Jacob Eason, who's going to be pushed by Jake Fromm at the QB spot. They've got Chubb and Michelle at running back. Defense has got 10 starters back. That makes them dangerous. But look at their schedule. They have to play Tennessee on the road, Florida in the swamp. They also have to play Auburn on the road this year. Non-conference, they have to play Notre Dame, Georgia Tech on the road. I think they slip up in a couple of places this year. And I'm going with the Gators to repeat. And I think this might be the best Florida team they've put on the field in recent years. Yes, they lose some talent on the defensive side of the ball, but much like Tennessee, their defense got banged up last year. That's why they gave up the 31 points to Florida State and the 54 to Alabama. And that got a lot of young guys some experience. A guy like Jabari Zuniga on the defensive end spot, I think, comes in and becomes a star along with C.C. Jefferson at the other defensive end spot. They're still loaded in the secondary. And offensively, it's the best offense I've seen out of Florida in years. And keep in mind, they've lost their starting quarterback early to injury each of the last 2 years. If they can keep a guy upright, whether it's Franks, whether it's Zaire, and I'm not discounting Luke Del Rio 100% either, because he was pretty good as a starter until he got injured last year. This is going to be a better Florida offense. The thing I really like about Florida this year is the schedule. Remember when they lost that LSU home game last year? Well, guess what? They get that game at home this year as opposed to playing it on the road. That's why LSU's playing five SEC road games. So Florida's three road games this year: at Kentucky, at Missouri, at South Carolina. Now, they do have to play Georgia and Jacksonville, but I think they have the talent to win that, and they've won the last three in that series. And when they play Michigan in the opening game of the season, Michigan's one of the least experienced teams in the country playing their first game. That's when you want to catch an inexperienced team. I think Florida has a shot at being favored in all 12 of their games this year. The Florida State game, the biggest question mark when they play them at home at the end of the year.
Yeah, that Florida-Michigan look-ahead line has been about three for Michigan from what I've seen. You think that could come down or maybe even turn over by the time the money starts rolling in on it?
I do think it will. It's plus 3.5 right now out there at the South Point in Vegas. And generally, Tom, my magazine does have a little bit of pull around the country. So yeah. Remember last year, my number one surprise team was the Washington Huskies, and they went from 7-6 and made the playoffs. This year, my number one surprise team in the country is the Florida Gators. So I got a feeling that game's going to be probably picked by game time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's move to the West. Phil Steele with us. Of course, Phil Steele's College Football Preview rolling out as we speak. You're going to start seeing the magazine come around. And folks can get the online version now, right, Phil?
Yeah, you can actually download it. And not only to your iPhone or your Android device, you can actually download it to your computer. So, I mean, it's really a neat thing to get. And if you go to philsteele.com, it gives you complete information of how to download the magazine. You can have it, you'll be reading the magazine in the next 5 to 10 minutes by doing it that way.
On the front of making sports gambling legal across the board, not just in Vegas, it was interesting, too, that this came out this past week, that NFL APA executive George Attell is saying that the four leagues in professional sports have been working together already to discuss the potential challenges using how overseas sports leagues handle the issues with gambling as case studies. He says that they have been discussing it, and it's almost as if they're kind of getting ready for this to happen. And one AFC owner told Monday Morning Quarterback back in March, from a gambling standpoint, it's a joke to say that would be a problem. That was an issue decades ago. Now sports gambling is going to be legal. We might as well embrace it and become part of the solution rather than fight it. It's at everyone's best interest for it to be above board. Man, it seems like we're getting closer and closer to this happening, to where it'll be, you know, sports gambling will be illegal across the board.
Yeah, well, I mean, you hope that is the case, just because you know that all of these people, there's a thirst for it out there, and there's no reason to think why we have to wait and wait and wait, and it's not legal, it shouldn't be legal, because why? You know, there's really no good answers except for it feels like, you know, we're living in the old days. We're living in the 50s and the 60s, and, you know, you gamble in these back rooms, or you meet a guy with a brown paper bag in an alley somewhere. And we just need to get past all of that, that there's nothing wrong with it. There's not going to be fixes, like all that stuff. These guys make too much money. So, you know, I just think that they need to get this thing hopefully resolved in the next few years and just accept it for what it is. That for Roger Goodell to think that there's that gambling doesn't drive the NFL, he's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about this so many times. Take away gambling, take away fantasy football. Do you really think there's that many diehard fans left? I really don't think so. I think there is a number, obviously, but you know, you have a big audience out there that gambles in the games, that plays fantasy football. If those two things went away, you're not going to have as much popularity in that sport.
Now, I was telling you, too, about that book I read about the underbelly of daily fantasy sports. And if there's anything, ultimately, when this story is finally written, that moved this along, it would be that. And when you read that book, it was written by a guy from the Wall Street Journal. And, I mean, it's amazing the seedy underside of daily fantasy sports. About the whole thing basically was based on pros with computers that didn't know if the ball was blown up or stuffed, running numbers and taking advantage of fish. Sharks taking advantage of fish in all of these games where they would put in 500, you know, different lineups to take advantage of people. And that when they ran into each other, like every once in a while you'd have these guys that are quote-unquote pros that would run into each other. They were apologetic, like, "Oh, geez, I didn't mean to go against you." You know, it was crazy. The whole thing was funded by a bunch of people with a dollar and a dream, and it was just such a small group of people getting rich on it. So much worse than just betting on a game.
Yeah, and I've read that, you know, you have all these whales, you know, as you call them, playing these fantasy sports, the daily fantasy, and they have all these different combinations and just destroying, you know, the common person. And everyone that wants to play thinks it's fun,
end up losing to somebody who's a pro. And like for something like that, I'm not really into daily fantasy sports, and I understand the idea of it. But at the same time, though, you know, that's just unfortunate that you go against someone like that who, where you have no chance to win. And obviously, they always say, oh, well, the house normally wins when you're betting on a sporting event. But at the same time, though, you know, you're going against the, you know, these odds makers, but then it ends right there, as opposed to someone who, in a sense, has the answer that is beating you every single time in daily fantasy.
No, it's good. And I don't know if you've been to Hoover yet, but what all it is a convention. It's an SEC media football convention,
yeah,
and it serves
it's
a purpose.
Super Bowl media days cut, you know, by like, you know, it's 15% of Super Bowl media days. Some years it's about 25% of Super Bowl.
Well, it's just an opportunity for all of us to get together. There's no news that comes out. More news comes out of Destin. Last month there was news in Destin. There's no news with this. It's just all of us get together and we say hip hip hooray, let's get going, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's a combination hype and propaganda week.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly, and I always get to sit down and talk with your buddy Gary Danielson there. So let's start there, because I want you to pull the curtain back for us a little bit. For those of you who don't know, for some, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years, how long have you been working with Gary on the SEC on CBS?
We've done 11 years together. This will be year 12.
That's amazing. So for 11 years, you're the guy that's just off to Gary Danielson's side. And tell us how the sausage is made. Are you handing him notes that are statistical things? Are you handing him notes as to, you know, a slice of life type things when a particular player, you know, what is it that you're feeding him? What kind of knowledge that we know that comes from you and your angle that you're looking at the game on?
All right. There are five people in the booth, essentially. The play-by-play guy, which for, you know, a great many years was Vern Lundquist. Now, full-time, it'll be Brad Nessler. Brad has two people who help him. He has a guy immediately. Actually, Brad does a little differently. He puts a guy in between himself and Gary. He's got a guy to his right who's his numbers guy, if you will. He's the one who points to who has the ball, who made the tackle, that sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a guy to Brad's left who does all the stats, you know, 4-yard gain, punt was 39 yards, return of 12. So that's who is helping Brad. I'm to Gary's right, and Gary's not a huge stats guy because Brad, usually the play-by-play guy, takes care of that. But Gary's obviously, as an analyst, has to be the insightful guy. So, you know, I point out certain things like, you know, that look like 12 men on the field, or you know, anything that could have happened, you know, that just a lot of times when you're watching a game live, it's actually harder than watching it on television.
Mm-hmm.
How many times people listening have been sitting in their living rooms going, how could the announcers not see that? Well, it's because a lot of times when you watch a game live, you follow the ball.
Right.
Well, the camera takes you places and more intimately than your own set of eyes can take you. Plus, also, the play-by-play guy and the analyst are getting three different replays thrown at them. They got two people talking in their ears. And so sometimes they miss things.
Right.
So my job is just to be an extra set of eyes. You know, like Gary as a quarterback, the way he does a game is he watches the safety. The safety tells him what the coverage is going to be pre-snap. And then usually the safety can take him to the ball if need be. So, you know, Gary does a game a little differently than most. And my job is just be an extra set of eyes and ears and point out some things, and also to listen to him. Like if he says something in the first quarter that, hey, I think this is going to be a key, to remind him late third quarter, hey, you said this an hour and a half ago. Has it turned out to be a key?
Mm-hmm. All right. Expansion draft primer. In terms of, you know, each team was able to protect 8 skaters and a goalie. Is that right?
Well, it was either you could protect 8 skaters and a goalie, or 7 forwards, 3 defensemen and a goalie. It all depends on how many defensemen you wanted to protect. So in the case of the Predators, for example, they obviously have to protect PK and Ekholm and Ellis and Yossi. So they went with the 8 skaters thing instead, and that's why you have James Neal exposed.
Yeah. Now, was there – and what was the rule for a guy not being exposed in terms of being a rookie? Because, you know, the Saros thing, the fact that, you know, he is not on the on the available list.
Yeah, there was a minimum games requirement with regard to whether or not a player was eligible for it. So I want to say it was 40. potentially games. Might be a little bit more than that. I forget exactly what the exact number was. But, you know, guys like Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, or at least Austin Matthews, didn't have to be protected. So there was a young player exemption. And you know, that helped out some teams that are clearly skewing a little bit younger, like the Maple Leafs.
Right. Yesterday we had a caller say, boy, we were surprised that the Predators exposed their captain, Mike Fisher. And, well, there's a lot of question about Mike Fisher's future. But if you're the Golden Knights, you're not looking at guys like Mike Fisher, right? I mean, you're looking at guys that can help you going forward that are much younger guys. I don't think the Preds have to worry about, you know, Mike Fisher being picked up.
No, and, you know, in some cases it's going to be age, in some cases it's going to be salary. Like, the Ottawa Senators exposed Bobby Ryan, and he said it himself, you know, I don't think they're going to take me at $7 million a season for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And he's probably right. You know, it's going to – we did a mock draft on Puck Daddy, and I think I might have had 4 players that were 30 and older, including Marc-Andre Fleury on the roster. I think it's going to be a fairly young team. It's going to be a mix of guys that they are going to build around and guys that they're going to immediately look to trade. It's a complicated process and a balancing act, but it seems like, in just talking to George McPhee, the general manager of the Vegas team today, he thinks that there was a bit more scoring and a bit more depth than he thought there was going to be available on these protected lists.
I saw a note where, and maybe at NHL.com, where they've got like 6 trades already in the mix. What would be some of the bigger ones? Are there any of those involved the Preds?
He said that there's at least a half dozen trades that are already in the bag, probably more on the way. None involved the Predators as far as I'm aware of. The ones that we know are the Islanders trying to keep the Golden Knights off of several of their players by sending a first-round pick along with Nikolai Kuhlman and Mikhail Grabowski to Vegas. You have the Blue Jackets sending a pick to Vegas to keep them off several players. You have the Anaheim Ducks sending something to Vegas to keep them from drafting Josh Manson, their great young defenseman. That might involve them actually drafting Sammy Vatanen, who's another good defenseman, instead. And then there's been word today that the Pittsburgh Penguins, in order to ensure that the Golden Knights take Marc-Andre Fleury as their goalie, had to sweeten the pot a little bit there too, to keep them off of drafting a kid like Brian Rust and take Fleury instead. So, you know, it's going to be a war chest of draft picks for this team and these sort of side deals that have been made to ensure that certain players aren't taken. And that's, you know, how the NHL gamed it. You know, the reason that they set these expansion draft parameters was to ensure that the Golden Knights get a bunch of good players straight away. And if they don't, that they get compensated with draft picks.
All right, there you have it. That is your rapid rewind for this, the 20th of June.
Bagged up.
Would you like to take a picture with me, Arky, or like Cole, or no, or like that story you told us earlier? You know, I mean, I think when you sit in this, if we took our shirts off, Greenpeace would show up with a big sling like Free Willy, and they would carry us back to the water and roll us back into the ocean.
What kind of show do you think this is?
They'd be like, we got one. All right, that's Arky back there. I thought maybe somebody would show up and want to take a picture with me because I'm sitting in the Cole Kubelik chair. Danny T was here. He wants to take a picture of me and post it on a wall at the post office, I think is what that is. All right, let's get a quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap this sucker up. Right at, man, I'm way over time. Right here on 730-1039, The Ump.
Just sit right back on the wheel.
Well, that's going to do it for the show today. What to watch on TV tonight? Watch baseball. Braves. College World Series. I'm going to watch the Yankees and the Angels whenever I get back to the Hacienda. I want to thank the guys that made it possible for us to do the show here in studio today. T-Mac Mixon, Cream, doing whatever he does over there. Arky for making me come in here and doing the show from here.
Hell yeah.
I want to thank Arky for not eating as much as Cole did at Dreamland. I want to thank Dreamland. I want to thank Cole for not allowing Dreamland to accomplish anything. And I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. It'll be hump day in a doghouse. 6 days to go to Hoover for us. 6 shows to go to Hoover for us. We'll have another special interview for you covering college football as we lead up to Hoover. Until then, have yourself a great night. Braves baseball a little bit later on. Right here at 730-1039. The Ump.